It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Lamar Jackson weighs 205. Not 215 like last year. Not 220, 225 the year before that. He weighs 205. And I know a lot of Lamar supporters and believers and Ravens fans will come in and say, it's going to be good. I don't like this, man. I don't like this at all. I don't like when a player changes weight at all, good, you know, high or low, when they're deep into their career. Doesn't matter if you're 22, 21, you're still getting used to your own skin. You know, like the Achan gaining weight, that's good. Aaron Jones, his breakout year, remember when he was so injury prone before he ever became Aaron Jones? He put on some weight, but he was very young to stay healthy, and he was still getting used to his own skin. This is kind of a concern for a running quarterback to thin down his body and create less padding. It's less ability to fend off injuries. Maybe he's a little quicker, but this is a kind of a concern for me. 205 for a quarterback taking the amount of hits he's taking, given he's used to playing at a certain weight. You're going to see JD5 increase in weight, not decrease in weight. I don't know why he's going in this direction, and it concerns me greatly. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, is putting on the LBs. He says he's bigger than ever. More Brandon Ayuk news and more projection as to what could happen there. You know, no surprises on that front. And a whole bunch more, as well as phone calls. The Fantasy Football Show, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. West Coast, begins right now. File on in.
Live from the FantasyFootballShow.com studios.
It's the Fantasy Football Show.
Live! Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. Smitty is also live whenever news breaks.
From the FantasyFootballShow.com news desk, here is your breaking news.
I'm not saying that we're ultra concerned to the point where we don't ever draft Lamar or we call him a bust, but this certainly isn't a good thing, in my opinion, going down to 205, and he looks like a rail. Like, you see video of him. This report here, or this particular video, you can't really tell because he's, you know, this is not a full body shot, but he looks a lot thinner than he used to drop 25 pounds from 2022. Jackson is on a mission, but now I'm 205. So he was 230 2 years ago. He went down to 215 last year, played at 215 according to his own mouth, and now he's at 205. I don't like it. I don't like it. It certainly, I think, opens the door to more injury risk, but, you know, I think a Lamar believer, a Ravens fan, they're just going to tell you, They're just going to say, he's fine. He'll be fine. Look at this quarterback that plays at this. That's all you're going to hear is examples. Doesn't matter what other quarterbacks are doing. Doesn't matter what JD5's coming in at. He's going to gain weight to help absorb some of the hits. So JD5's going to gain weight. Lamar being 205 is not, I think, good. It could only be potentially bad. Not for sure bad. Not, again, call him an absolute bust and avoid bad, but I don't think I'm itching to draft him now when I'm teeter-tottering on him and another quarterback that's going to shove me in the other direction. So I'm staying clear on that level. Am I calling for an all-out panic attack blitz. Like, everybody be on alert. This thing is going to get ugly.
Alert. Alert. Panic mode initiated.
I don't know if I'm going that far, but I'm certainly, like, contemplating it. and I'm that's a lot, man. That is a lot of LBs to drop. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. What I do like, though, is that this man, Joseph Cigar Smoking Burrow, is back and ready. This coming from NFL via the Bengals. I'm good. I'm in a good spot right now. I'm really strong, bigger than I was. Bigger, stronger, better. He added the weight. This is ironic that both of these are getting dropped on the same day. You know, we kind of knew Lamar was doing this, though. This is kind of floating out there. We just didn't know if he planned on playing this way. He dropped the LBs. Was that just an offseason thing and he was going to...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Kind of bulk up. We didn't really know for sure, but it's now coming from him that he's going to play at 205 instead of 215 and instead of 230. So 230 when he was his biggest to 215, now to 205. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, says I'm gaining weight to help stay healthy, to absorb hits. And like I said, I don't love when a player bulks up or thins out. So in the case of Joe Burrow, you know, you could say hypocritical that, you know, he's gaining weight and you like it. And he's definitely, you know, more of a veteran now than a young player. He's kind of used to his skin. But in the case where a player is needing to maybe stay healthy and they need something, something's got to give, I don't mind the added weight. I think the added weight's okay because he's not carrying it around running and scrambling like a monster. So added weight's probably good for him. If this was an RB that was seasoned veteran material, 27 years old, 26 years old, even maybe 25 years old and was like, I'm going to add 10 pounds, I would come out and tell you, I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want a running back trying to add 10 or 15 pounds 4 years into their career. I don't mind it one single bit if they're 21, 22, trying to get used to their own skin. You're carrying around this weight for a while, playing an NFL career. You're used to doing certain things. Your knee joints aren't used to carrying 10, 15 extra LBs. I don't mind this for Joe Burrow. I would mind if this man decided, let's say he played at 205 his entire career. I would mind at his age being a veteran trying to add 15 pounds. I'd also mind him doing that. So make sure you understand there's two ways that this could go. It's not just gaining weight or losing weight, is one's worse than the other. It depends on the entire scenario, how old they are, how long they played at their weight. Again, CeeDee Lamb gained half an inch, not this offseason, but the offseason prior. CeeDee Lamb grew a half an inch two off seasons ago. So he's still getting to know his own body. His body wasn't even done growing. He could play at whatever weight he wanted. He could get used to whatever weight CeeDee Lamb decided to put himself in the last offseason, even this past offseason. It wouldn't have affected him because he's still a young man getting to know his own body, able to do really whatever he wants to do. You become a player that's played 5, 4, 6 years, depending on running backs, 3 or 4 years, you're a veteran. 4 or 5 years, you try and change your weight, not a good look. Not a good look, not a good idea. Your body won't be used to it. You can't do it. It's not smart. This is not good. Alan with the $10 hauler. Alan, appreciate you dropping the 10 wad to the moon. All $10 haulers get moonshots, my good man. And Alan says, Smitty, my Bengals are back in the running 2024. Joey B bulking up and Lamar dropping 25 LBs of muscle. Loving life in Cincy, Ohio. Bout now. Appreciate you, Alan, dropping the wad on screen. Alan to the moon. Yeah, I don't know. This is good. This is not so good. People will say it's a biased take, but this is not. This guy decided to drop down to 195. I would come out and tell you I don't like Joe Burrow dropping to 195. I don't like it. I wouldn't be biased. I would come in and tell you. I would come in and tell you. People think I'm biased. I'm not. This is legit. This guy runs a lot. This guy gets hit a lot. You don't want him dropping 15 pounds, 20 pounds, 30 pounds. Even 5 to 10 pounds is not good when he's needing that cushion for the pushing. And this particular piece of news right here, 49ers, this is obvious stuff at this point, but a lot of people reporting on it today, so I think it's worth having discussion. 49ers, Brandon Ayuk is the team's focusing. The Niners are focusing on a long-term deal, no longer interested in trading him. Clearly, we know that by now. Kind of weird that these reports are even surfacing today. But I think what we still need to keep in mind is that Deebo Samuel, as of this moment, is not a part of the long-term plan. He's a part of what they believe to be the short-term 2024 plan. But Debo's walking into a season, and you could say maybe this is a reason to maybe avoid him now in the second round because Debo's going like late second round. I could get behind that thinking. I don't know that I'm going to fully be avoiding him by any means because I really like Deebo. Deebo's the best wide receiver on this team. I know Ayuk's the best route runner. You know, some would say even Deebo that he can't be guarded in a phone booth. He's that good at getting open. But Debo's the heart and soul of the team. And I think the Niners are misplacing they're not allocating future-wise their resources properly to keep this thing together, their window open as long as possible. I'm not saying Ayuk isn't amazing. I'm not saying Ayuk can't be even a top 10, top 8 to 12 wide receiver, top 7 to 12 wide receiver. I give him a big range because I don't want to say top 7 and not have that range there. But I think that at the end of the day, you can replace Ayuk so much easier with Ricky Parasol, you know, versus replacing Deebo Samuel. You can't replace yak yard instincts and the ability to do what Deebo does. Close your eyes and imagine Deebo Samuel getting tackled. You probably can't even envision it. You don't have very many memories instilled in your mind, burned in your eyeballs, of Deebo Samuel getting tackled when he catches a football because he's the yak yardage king in the NFL. He's the best yak yard monster in the National Football League. He's one of the best yak yards, if not really the best yak yard monster in the last 10 years in the National Football League. And there's something special about him when you get him the football either in open space or at the line of scrimmage, and you've got these design plays to block for this man for about 5, 6, 7 to 12 yards, and then the rest is up to him. You could say, oh, it's Kyle Shanahan's scheme. We could do these same things with Ricky Parasol. You might be able to a degree, sure. No one's saying that you can't put Ricky into Deebo's role and get very good production. I'm not saying that. That system is very, very much a fantastic one for that type of production for any running back, wide receiver, or morphed version of the two to be shoved into it, getting these screen plays and design plays at the line of scrimmage, behind the line of scrimmage. But at the end of the day, Deebo's doing it better. Nobody's doing it better than Deebo. Deebo's either getting ushered out of bounds by 3 and 4 defenders because they can't tackle him, or he's in the end zone on a 40, 50, 60-yard touchdown, and that's why he's the leading yak yard guy in the last 10 years, essentially, depending on how you cherry-pick the data. But he is. I mean, he's amazing. And then if you look at, like, The year he broke out, right, when he was a wide back and he was asked to be RB, you look at the fact that I believe he had one of the highest yards per catch and I believe was number one, number two, or number three in yak yards. The combination of the two is kind of unreal when you think about it because he's catching short passes and turning those into big yak yard situations, but he's also leading the league in yards per catch. Like, he's just unbelievable. He's just unbelievable. And the problem is the drafting of Ricky Parasol, I believe, was a panic move by the Niners. I believe that Dejean was the guy that they were going to take. There was leaks in San Francisco. There's word all over the place that this team was trying to find a mole and a rat inside the organization. So they leaked out the Dejean pick, one of the best cornerbacks in the draft. You could argue the best one if you wanted, and the Philadelphia Eagles snatched him from the Niners after the Niners botched the non-drafting of Dejean. But Dejean was announced as the pick. Everybody, all the Niner communities were posting it. Even our boy Raj posted it, and I'm not saying that he shouldn't have. It was all over the place, right? Dejean, boom, Dejean. I did let them know you posted news that was fake news. And they remember they ripped me apart when I came live saying that IU could have requested a trade? And they're like, it happens to the best of everybody. And nor do I even apologize, because the reports that I reported on reported it. Like, I don't apologize. I didn't do anything. I didn't report any fake news. I reported on reports that ended up being false. And that's the way it goes. And so, same thing here. There's nothing that any of the Niner pages or Raj or anybody should be ashamed of. The reports came out from legit sources that you trust pretty well. You know, no one's locked into anything, but the reports came out. The Niners have selected Dejean, cornerback. Niner communities were in an uproar. Yeah, we got the best corner. We needed this. This is the best pick. And then minutes later, ESPN, everybody announced the pick is Ricky Parasol. It was like, what in the hell? Let me tell you, I love Ricky. I love Ricky. I went on Raj's live stream and said, you need to replace Ayuk with Ricky Parasol, McConkey, or Malachi Corley. And I went into their live stream before they drafted Ayuk, and I said, watch film on Ayuk. We pulled Ayuk up on my computer. I flipped my screen around. We were doing a live stream together on IG. I showed the entire Niner community who Ayuk even was. Ayuk is phenomenal. He really is. So is Debo. And the Niners should be taking a page from the Philadelphia Eagle. We are crushing the offseason and had one of the best drafts, if not the best draft in the NFL this year. They should be taking a page out of the Eagles' book. But no, the Niners are blinded with their goggles, and they think, oh, the Eagles aren't going to be any competition this year. Eagles are going to run the table on everybody. The Eagles took Dejean. The Niners freaked out and took Parasol because they're trying to trade Debo or Ayuk actively. Both of them were actively being shopped during the NFL draft, but the Eagles also played 8D chess or 10D chess against the Niners checkers by dropping the AJ Brown contract news 12 minutes before the draft began, thus screwing up the entire wide receiver market and dropping one of the biggest guaranteed money wide receiver contracts on everybody, to the tune that it screwed up everything. Now all of a sudden, Brandon Ayuk was essentially untradeable. Not because a team might not want him, but because how in the hell are you now going to negotiate a new deal? And no team would trade for Ayuk without a deal in place on the back end with little time to work it out, when now you have an $84 million guaranteed amount of money sitting there for the wide receiver. That is what the wide receivers are all going to look to now. Ayuk's not going to rush this. Ayuk's not going to want less than $84 million guaranteed the moment he sees this. You might say he's no A.J. Brown, but in his mind, he is A.J. Brown. Doesn't matter what we think. He, at the moment he saw this, said, what in the hell? Where's my bag? This was playing 10D chess on everybody. This is why, and I, 12 minutes before the draft, I said, you know what I think? And I stood up and I said it like this. I stood up and I went like this. And I got excited. And I said, oh my God, you know what I think this is going to do? 12 minutes before the draft began. I don't think they can trade Ayuk anymore. They priced Ayuk out of the trade market 12 minutes before the draft. What a genius move. So now what is going to happen? I said, right here standing, 11 minutes before the draft, I said, Deebo Samuel. Deebo Samuel. They have to trade Deebo now. He's the only one that can move. What did you hear? Deebo might be traded. And then after the draft, walking into day two, when the Buffalo Bills kept scooting back, it's more likely that Deebo will get traded than Ayuk, because Ayuk got priced out of the trade market. No one wants to pay Ayuk what Ayuk's value is going to now be, because the Niners keep sitting on their hands and they don't sign this man. The price tag for Ayuk goes up every single day, every single contract. You could have had him at Ridley's contract. 54, 58 million guaranteed maximum. You'd have to give him when Ridley signed his deal before Devontae Smith, before all these other receivers started stacking up their contracts. Now you're looking at, oh, Smitty, he's not A.J. Brown. Doesn't matter. It now complicates it. The gap between the Niners' negotiation tactics and where Ayuk is standing is this far apart now. Why? Because Niners are still probably thinking 50-something guaranteed. Ayuk's thinking he's delusional. He's in a delusional state right now. How could you not? I'm as good as A.J. Brown is what he's thinking. Doesn't matter what you think. He's thinking that. $84 million guaranteed. Good Lord. I was going to sign a 60. Now I'm not doing it. They are so far apart right now. Now, has Ayuk had a lot of time to think about it? Does he come back down to earth really quickly? Does a deal get done in a week, tomorrow? Does it ever get done? I don't know. Does he play on the fifth-year option because he's going to bank on himself and he doesn't want to ink himself to a small deal when next year he could get $84 million guaranteed? Not because he's A.J. Brown, but because the market's going to go up again next year. By waiting and not taking $60 million guaranteed, he might get $90 million guaranteed next year because the wide receiver market just goes up. Everything goes up about 17 to 20% every 2 years. Everything. The quarterback numbers, remember how big those were? Those keep going up. 47, 48. It's going to be $60 million within 2 years. Quarterbacks, the top quarterback, they keep leapfrogging each other. JJ signs his extension in the coming days and weeks. Forget about it, because he's going to get 90 to 100 mil guaranteed. He's going to sign a massive deal that's going to be $35, $36 million a year. This one right here is what, 33, 34? 84, three-year deal. What is this? It's $84 million, $96 million, sorry. $96 million. Divided by three is 32. $32 million a year. JJ's going to get 35, 36. And then, again, no one's saying Ayuk's JJ. We're not idiots, okay? We're not complete morons here. But if JJ's worth 36, Ayuk's no longer worth what he was worth. He's going to get dragged up. It's all a spider web. It's all connected. You pull on one player, it pulls everyone's contracts up slightly. If T. Higgins, I mean, look, as much as the Bengals have avoided the T. Higgins contract extension conversation, this kind of stuff happens all the time. Dak Prescott's not going to get his extension. Boom, he gets it the next day. This happens all the time. T. Higgins, there have been talks about T. Higgins getting a deal, I believe, since 2023. But a deal could happen tomorrow. Boom. Anybody's contract gets signed, Ayuk is more expensive. And there's a greater chance, I don't know how he's going to play it, there's a greater chance that Ayuk sits on doing this and he banks on himself and says, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and assume that next year I'm getting, you know, such a significant amount of guaranteed money, especially if I go out and ball out. Problem is, the Niners could franchise tag him. You know, and then what? That's the problem, is like, you don't even have full control. People will say bank on himself. Bank on himself for what? Now, the Niners want to sign Ayuk. There's no doubt about it. But they want to sign Ayuk probably on money that was, at most, they might go Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith's contract is a really tough one to even pay him in the eyes of the Niners, but they're going to have to do that. The question is, does Ayuk believe he's worth more than Devontae Smith? And I kind of think he probably thinks that. I mean, whether you and I disagree with him or not doesn't matter. What does he think? What will he sign? Just because you go to a car dealership and they won't budge, they'll stop at a certain point. You're just not going to sign and take the car because it's their best offer. Like, at some point, Ayuk has to get as close as he can to his idea of the offer before he'll fold and take a lower amount, right? If they're this far apart, neither side's going to fold. If they're right here, who's going to fold? Who's going to fold? Boom. You know, it's within grasp. But right here, no one can fold and get even close to each other. They both can fold, and they're not even near each other. My whole point here is Deebo Samuel's probably getting traded in the 2025 offseason if he's not traded during the year to maximize the value and not be like, okay, our feet are to the fire. We'll, you know, and if Deebo gets hurt, and the reason the team's probably not banking on Deebo is they're worried about breakdown, they're worried about injury. And you got to ask yourself if the team's going to say, let's take care of this now so we don't end up ruining our return value if he does get hurt and then we're trying to trade an injured player. The Niners have a lot of money problems next year. They've got to pay Brock Purdy $10 billion, according to Jed York and ownership, because they're going to hand him a blank check, according to Jed York. Jed York says they're going to reset the quarterback market on Brock Purdy, which was, I think, pretty stupid to say out in public, because you're now negotiating at the highest dollar amount. And that's pretty bold and crazy to say before he's even played another season. Brock Purdy is the highest paid quarterback. I don't know what I'm looking at if that's what we're looking at next offseason. Now, granted, sometimes the fifth or sixth quarterback is going to be the highest paid quarterback because they keep resetting the market and climbing on top of each other's contract amount. So it's not unusual for the number three or four quarterback to become the highest paid so that the number two and three can then leapfrog above and so forth. But the Niners, don't be shocked if we start to hear more Deebo trade rumors, even though the Niners have come out and said, I know what the Niner fans are going to say right now, because you guys take everything Kyle and John say, you know, as if it's gospel.
They've already said they're not interested in trading Deebo or Ayuk.
Yeah, just like they weren't interested in trading Ayuk or Deebo, but were actively shopping both of them on draft day. Okay, so you do what you want with your information. I'm telling you, don't be surprised if you start hearing. I didn't even say they were 100% true or even Niner driven. I said, don't be surprised if you start hearing Deebo Samuel trade rumors right now leading into the season. And then, you know, during the year, could he get traded? Sure. It's all about, does somebody make an offer that the Niners cannot refuse? And the thing is, I don't know that anybody will, because everyone's filled their wide receiver rooms with rookies and a very talented rookie class. There aren't very many gaping holes at wide receiver on any roster anymore. That's why doing a deal on draft day was vital. That's why I believe the Niners panicked and screwed up, because they were committed to trading one of them, probably Deebo, because of the Eagles' genius masterclass in contract droppage right here on 12 minutes before the draft began. This masterclass that the Eagles dropped on everybody, especially the Niners, really made the Niners have to change directions and go, okay, I guess we're trading Deebo because we can't trade Ayuk now. No one wants to pay that when you could get a free rookie right now. And the value they want back would be at a range that a team's going to go, nope, we don't want Ayuk at this cost. We'd rather have this rookie at this cost. That's why he got priced out. If someone's wondering, how do you get priced out of a trade? You get priced out of a trade because now Ayuk is worth X when he was worth, seven-eighths of that value before this A.J. Brown deal was announced. So Deebo Samuel, given he's on a fixed contract, and given that you know what you're getting, and you're getting an amazing player, he's easier to go get. So, we'll see. We will see. I don't know what's in store for the Niners. I don't know what's in store for Deebo. I don't know if there's a team that is willing to pay a very, very nice, hefty price tag for Deebo to even get Debo on the roster to win a championship, i.e. the Buffalo Bills still could have interest. They got Keon Coleman, but, you know, who's to say they aren't going to still be somewhat interested in you know, hearing what the price tag is. You got a lot of these teams that potentially could be in the mix. The Steelers sound like they're out on bringing in bigger names. The Jaguars have their guy. They're no longer interested. The Baltimore Ravens, I guess, would still be a potential team that I could see having interest in one of the Niner wide receivers. That could work. And, you know, the Ravens took Wiggins at 30. They didn't go after one of the big name wide receivers. They have Zay Flowers, who obviously is a good player, but could they be interested? I think the Ravens kind of feel like, in my opinion, the only team that really feels capable of making this move. You know, if the Patriots hadn't brought in two wide receivers, I would think that they were, you know, in the mix. But Debo Samuel, where else could he go? I mean, I'm looking at the first round just to get an idea of what teams we could just kick around. I don't see anybody. I don't think there's a real good shot unless it was, and KC filled their wide receiver room plenty. I don't see it. I don't see a team that has the need enough to pay the Piper instead of going and getting just a young rookie. So why give up the draft capital? It's the Baltimore Ravens in my mind. Maybe the Cowboys if Jerry woke up on the right side of the bed. And that's it. That's it. Those are the only two teams I can even envision right now. Not saying it's impossible, but there's no real path to it anymore. And that's why I think the Niners really crapped the bed, because they drafted Parasol anticipating, this is my belief anyway, I don't care what how John spins it. John's a deflector in chief. He's really good at it, at deflecting, you know, what their objective was. And, oh, no, he didn't really want to trade Debo Samuel. And then the fan base is going to be like, oh, yeah, John told us he's not. They never were going to trade. You hear John? John said they're never going to trade him. Like, they were trying to trade either one. Fire sale to a degree. Nobody was willing to pay the Piper. So, we'll see. We'll see. You know, my whole thing is, I think the Niners should be doing what the Eagles are doing. Eagles just paid, you could say overpaid. They overpaid their wide receiver room. A.J. Brown, locked up and happy. Devontae Smith, locked up and happy. Overpaid, doesn't matter. Barkley, bring in the expensive running back. Done. Jalen Hurts has all the weapons in the world. Defense, probably the best revamped defense you could find coming out of the NFL draft. They drafted the two best corners. They added all over the place. This team is absolutely going to thrash everybody. The Eagles, in my opinion, will be, as I have on the board up above my head, NFC champions in the top corner. That is all the news we have 31 minutes into this show. I will keep refreshing X and AKA Twitter to see if anything new is going to pop in. Phone lines are open. Dial into the phone lines, brought to you by the attic.shop. The attic.shop, formerly known as Grindhouse.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
The Eagles look scary. You know who doesn't look wounded, or I'm showing no concern, even though a lot of people might, is the KC Chiefs. Smitty, they can lose a guy. They brought in two guys to replace one. Not concerned at all. Not concerned one single bit. Neither should you. Pat Mahomes, fifth round steal. Sebastian, you're live. What can I do for you?
What would the reasoning be behind Lamar's weight cut? It just doesn't make sense.
I don't know. I don't know why you... It's not like, you know, it's not like he suffered a lot of injury last year. Like, why would you want to slim down in... I don't know. Doesn't make any sense. Like, usually when you do, when you make a weight change, it's to, like, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow is bulking up because he hasn't been staying healthy. And at some point, you do say, I don't care what the risk is of adding weight, losing weight. Let's, for whatever we're doing isn't working, let's do the other thing. Like, I'd be okay with Lamar was getting banged up, and it's like carrying the weight is causing some problems. Now, losing weight does help your knees because there's less weight on the knees, and he has had some knee issues. So I don't know if he's not telling us that, like, his knees were having some problems and he was advised drop some LBs and your knees will, you know, be a lot better. But the problem is he's going to be more susceptible when he gets hit. So it's a catch 22, but losing weight can definitely help, you know, eliminate some knee injuries. But it's not smart. It's not smart because he already did a significant cut. Now, granted, someone could say, well, he dropped from 230 to 215 last year and he stayed healthy. Well, that kind of cut wasn't necessarily devastatingly crazy, you know, to go to 215. It's still decent size. But to drop another 10 LBs, I don't get it. Maybe he gains it back, though. The only thing I'll say is for the overreactors, which I'm not in that bucket of overreaction, but I'm definitely in the bucket of, look, things were close enough between Lamar and other players. I'm going the other direction when all things are equal and very close because there's now a red flag. But there's a very good chance that, like, he doesn't keep the weight off just by playing football, you know, eating, getting hungry, lifting even more in the next coming weeks. And maybe he's 211. You know what I mean? He can't help it. He's playing at 211. So kind of tough to know. But at the end of the day, you don't want to be 205 getting hit the way he's getting hit. And I think that, you know, the complaints about JD5 being about 210. So right now, let me just clear the air. Ziggy, how tall is Lamar Jackson?
Lamar Jackson weighs 215 pounds.
Not anymore.
6 feet 2 inches tall.
He's 6 foot two, and he weighs 205. JD5 is 6 foot four, and weighs, he says, 210. Let's call him 28 to 210. Now JD5 weighs more than Lamar, and he's 2 inches taller. And people gripe and moan and complain and bitch about how JD5 is not going to be able to hold up at the NFL level. This guy's now smaller. He weighs less than JD5, and he's 2 inches shorter. So you tell me how this is a positive. Not you specifically, Sebastian, because I think we see eye to eye on this. But anybody wants to call in and tell me how this is a positive, I'm very game. I'm very, very game to hear what your approach is. I want to know. I want to know what the positive is, because I can't find a single good reason why you'd want him to weigh less than JD5 at 2 inches shorter. It doesn't make any sense at all when you run as much as he does. It'd be different if he was a pocket passer and you're like, look, you know, he's you know, whatever. Which wouldn't even make sense because the bulk would help a little bit. But I it's not a great look. It's not a good move at all. The question is, can he hold it off? We've heard players say, I'm going to play at a lesser weight, and they never do because they just gain it back. Is JD5 as elusive as Lamar? Sean wants to know. Yes, he is. And my prediction is that he'll be better than Lamar Jackson on all levels. On all levels. Maybe they're equal scramblers at the end of the day in many people's eyes. That I could get behind that argument, but JD5 comes out of college as one of the most elusive running backs we've ever seen play the college game. JD5 had 10 rushing touchdowns, my guy. 10 rushing touchdowns. Let me pull up JD5's board here and show you JD5's numbers. JD5 had, he says I'm 210 pounds, by the way. JD5 had 1134 on the ground last year in college. 1134 and 10 touchdowns. He had 3-8-1-2, 38-12 passing. The most amazing thing you see on this screen, well, there's probably more an amazing stat I'll hit in a second, but one of the most amazing things on the screen is that this guy still had 40 passing touchdowns and nearly 4,000 passing yards when he was busy taking a lot of the opportunities away from himself by running for 1134 and 10 touchdowns. When you have 1134 and 10 touchdowns, you should not have 3,800 yards and 40 passing touchdowns. That doesn't make any sense at all. It doesn't make a single lick of sense. And it doesn't even make sense even more so that you'd have 4 INTs on the year. He's the best QB in the pocket in 2023 in college football and FBS First and TD passes, 35. In the pocket. Oh, and Smitty, he's a scrambler. He's not a good quarter. In the pocket, 35 of his 40 touchdowns were in the pocket. He was first in FBS in yards per attempt with 11.5. 67% completion percentage on 20-plus yard passes in 2023. Best in FBS in the last 10 years. In the last decade, no one's been better on 20-plus yard throws than JD5. And yet, people walk in here, just meander on into the chat, into the live stream, and onto the phone line, regurgitating the garbage content that they hear and just repeat like a parrot. And they say, yeah, but he's not a good deep threat. He's just a scrambling quarterback. Then why is he the best quarterback in college football in with 20-plus yard throws? Riddle me that. Everything I'm showing you here should have you going, oh, my God, this is a top three quarterback in the National Football League a year from today. What have I said that has steered you in a different direction? This has been my number one quarterback from the jump. Never hesitated. Never stuttered. No equivocation. Last three games, he had 11 TDs and zero INTs inside the pocket. Sebastian.
If I were to have one concern about JD5, the film does show he takes a lot of big hits, but I think he definitely will clean that up at the NFL level.
How do you not look? I'm not saying you don't bring up a somewhat valid point, but how do you not take as many hits as you can possibly corral up on film and cherry pick and say, look at this bad hit. He ran for 1134, bro. You're going to take all kinds of hits.
Yeah, he still did.
I know. So this is like my brother. My brother cuts his fingers with blades all the time. We're taking him to the ER, my older brother. Taking him to the ER once every 3 or 4 years. He'll hit like some sort of, he'll go straight into his nerve with a box cutter. He's constantly cutting himself. And we're like, why do you cut yourself so much? And then his friend enlightened us with this comment. This one little comment. It just made us all go, whoa. Whoa, he said, because my brother works with his hands all day long, making prototypes, cutting things constantly. The buddy said, the amount of times you have an X-Acto knife and cutting tools in your hand, you probably cut yourself less than the average person on the planet in terms of the amount of times he's in there doing that stuff. And my brother's like, that's probably true. And my brother, big grin on his face because he was feeling down, you know, because he keeps cutting himself. But he's actually the most careful person in the world. He's just constantly using an X-Acto knife and cutting things left and right. And so my point here being is that when you run the ball 1,100 yards, 1,134 and 10 scores, you're going to have film that's going to show you getting popped more than the average player. And because you have 8 or 9, you know, clips of you getting popped hard, you're going to say, oh, he gets hit hard in the college football space. When he's running more than anybody. Of course he's going to get popped more than everybody. But maybe we look at the stats similar to my brother and you say, for the amount of times he's running, he gets less hit, like tough hits than anybody in college football. It's all perspective. You know what I'm saying? It's all perspective. And people cherry pick everything.
You know who he reminds me of is Anthony Richardson of last year. I think he'll be better, though, because he's got Cliff Kingsbury, and they handpicked him. I do think he'll be better than AR5.
Bro, let me tell you this. When we look at a board like this, and we say AR5 was going... let me go get an AR5 image. Hold on.
He's on a shuttle to Mars.
Here's the Mars man. Let's grab this. Let's go back to the board. AR5, okay? AR5 was getting drafted, if I remember correctly, in round 6 and 7 last year. It was somewhere in this territory. The fun thing about AR5, if you remember back, is he was getting drafted in round 6 or 7, but he's getting drafted as a starter, but like not the guy you're starting a week 1. So people were actually drafting their week 1 starter after they drafted AR5. They were just drafting on spec that this is going to become an amazing player, and they're not sure when. I believe we'll see the same thing happen as we go into the next couple weeks and months, especially if news breaks that JD5 does this and does that. One clip of him just running like 80 yards down the field untouched. Like, just a couple different things. There's some missile he throws to McLaurin. It's going to increase his value into, I think, the same territory. And people will be cautious to draft JD5 as their starter like they were AR5. But if anybody remembers, as we got into the season, I think it was around, he got injured. Let me look at...
week five, I think.
So let me just pull up the QB numbers here. AR5, I don't even think I have... Do I have it on here? I don't think I have it on this particular thing. Ah, damn. I'll put it on here so I can reference it later. But when he got injured, the moment he got injured... That moment, like from that right up to that moment, he was a top five overall running back evaluation. Like, if you were trying to trade for AR5, and remember, quarterbacks were going down like flies last year, so there was more of an interest in acquiring AR5 in a trade than there was, than there would have been, because you had guys going down left and right. But AR5, you know, he went down pretty early on in the year. And you would have to have paid like top five QB value for him. I think JD5 will be worth that by week four, five, or six. I think that you're going to have to, if you want JD5, and think about all the teams that are going to own JD5. They're going to have JD5 and they're going to have a Joe Burrow. They're going to have JD5 and they're going to have a Mahomes because of the way he's falling. There's the person that has JD5 will have another quarterback. So whoever has JD5 will be tempted 8 times out of 10 to trade him, or trade their other starter and put JD5 in. So to get him, to acquire him, the person holding JD5 will be able to request top five, top six quarterback value. So dare I say, and there might even be a video on this, he is one of the craftiest guys to grab late if the value still allows you to grab him late. Some leagues you can, some leagues you can't, because your return on investment for him will be so much higher than the round you're drafting him. Quarterbacks are just worth more.
He's an insurance policy too, even if you choose not to trade him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And he's going to become a problem for you. Thanks again, Alan, for the super chat, because I mean that in a good way, but he's going to become a problem for you because you're going to be sitting there going, do I put in JD5 over Joe Burrow? And then JD5 is going to maybe outscore him. Then the next week you're going, do I put in JD5 over Burrow? And the next week JD5. And then eventually you're going to be like, damn it, I got to do it. And then you're going to put him in, and then he'll score less, and Joe Burrow will go nuts, and you're going to have this problem on your hands. So it's a good problem to have. It's better to have that problem in best ball, because you'll just have your top scorer scoring for you every time. And what happened to the gavel? I was a fan of that. I got the gavel right here. It's right here. Whenever we do fantasy football court, we hit that sucker all day long. Whenever we do fantasy football court, John, the gavel's here. Thank you for the super chat. Space Ricky says, what's the JD5 to Dotson prognosis in 2024? I think it's going to be very, very plentiful. I think we're going to see Jahan Dotson really pop off. And at the cost of entry, which is like wide receiver 5 or something that for your team, or at least 4, I'll pull up the... It looks like Dotson's got an ADP on Underdog Fantasy. As of this moment, right this very second... on Underdog. I'm refreshing it in case the update just came in right now. Jahan Dotson is going at wide receiver. God, he's so far down there. It's such amazing value. I'm literally having to scroll. I almost thought I had to go back up. I went down. Wide receiver 61. He's going at 133 overall. You're talking about Brandon Cooks is right below him one spot. Josh Downs. I like Downs, but he's not guaranteed anything at all. Like, you're tempted to not even draft Josh Downs. And you're seeing Dotson's got zero risk. And for that, he's maybe Moon Man capable of again. I'm not trying to, like, say, hey, let's take a big swing again and double down on somebody just to do it. I'm saying the cost of entry is literally zero. You don't lose a thing. This is your waiver wire guy that you're dropping in week one. If you don't like the way it looks coming out of week one, he's the guy that you designate as your droppee. Doesn't affect you a single bit. I love Dotson. And if you look at the metrics, his routes run, his accuracy, conversion of routes run and all the data that suggests that he did everything right and just didn't get thrown to, that to me has me saying, you know what, this is a hidden gem again. And I don't think we're wrong. Like, he was so good his rookie year. I don't think we were wrong on it. I think he got screwed because Sam Howell didn't throw the football to him. This kind of gives us a little bit of pause for Sam Howell, though, when, you know, if he does end up getting in there in Seattle. I think Ryan Grubb could change that, but I'm a little bit worried about how he didn't find his most talented wide receiver, or his on the rise potentially could be the most talented wide receiver. Sam Howell couldn't connect with him when he was successfully open. He was running routes and successful getting open. The metrics talk about it. So we'll see. All right. Anything else, Sebastian? You can call back if you got another question. I'm going to keep the phone lines moving.
I'm going to listen in. I'll call back in later.
All right, later. So phone lines are open. Dial in. I love me some Dotson this year. I'm all about it. I think it's good value. I think people are gonna be so burned by him that they're gonna be like, I don't wanna go near it, but he's free. He's absolutely free. 3,500 yards for JD5 in 2024, says Allen. What I want people to make sure they don't do is anticipate JD5 to be a running quarterback only. Because then you're gonna look like a fool. You know, if you start talking like that, people are acting like he's not the best quarter. He's the best gunslinger. Him and Penix Jr. are by far and away the best throwers, the most NFL-ready passing quarterbacks in this draft class, which is why I haven't wavered one time. I'm surprised I haven't moved my 1 and 2 quarterback ranking around one time in the offseason. Not one time. It's been JD5 and Penix Jr. the entire way. What's up, Scared Scott?
Oh, not much. How you doing, Smitty?
I'm good, bro. What are you scared about today?
I was wearing your shirt today.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Which one did you pick up?
The one that says the Fantasy Football Show just across the chest.
I like it. What's up?
Hank's great. Hank's great. I'm all in shape, big chested. It was freaking no. Made me look huge.
Nice, nice. What can I do for you, Scared Scott?
I'm curious. What do you? I just joined my first redraft league, and I've been doing a bunch of mock drafts. And what's your take on Pickens and Deontay Johnson? Because what I'm thinking is Pickens is now the number one with a quarterback. And I'm thinking Deontay Johnson is one of the best separation wide receivers in the league. And, man, I see those numbers that Thielen was putting up last year. And I'm thinking that those are going to go to Deontay Johnson and get both late.
Well, Thielen's still there. And Leggett's now there. You've got three mouths to feed. You got Jonathan Brooks incoming. I don't know how I feel about Deontay. I think Deontay's in more of a... He might be in more of a crowded wide receiver room or a pass-catching situation than ever before. And he's got a...
He separates, man. It's just...
He separates for what, though? To drop the football? Like, there's pros and cons to Deontay Johnson. I've never been a big fan. I've told people to run for the hills every year on him. And I've been right way more right than I've been wrong. There's one year where he did do pretty well. But I've been right way more than I've been wrong by just avoiding him. And so, I don't know. I mean, changing teams is never really good for wide receivers. You've got a young quarterback. You've got Leggett coming in, who's probably the best player on the or wide receiver on the roster, plain and simple, in terms of physical skills and talent. Now, granted, he's a rookie, but, I mean, Bryce Young's still going to play a little bit like a rookie himself. I don't think he got to mature as quick and as much as a player normally would have because they were so held back last year. It's almost like he's going to have the second half of his rookie year, but a proper second half of it. And I don't know that, you know, Thielen's not necessarily going to be the same guy, but he's not going away. I don't like Deontay. There's a reason why Deontay is so far down. Now, I will tell you this. I'm looking at his ADP on Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy, promo code Smitty. Use code Smitty and claim your special pick that you get, plus first-time deposit offer up to $250, which is awesome. I'm not talking about matching up to that. I'm talking about that you make your first-time deposit, and you're not sure what they're going to drop, but you could be dropped $250. You may or may not. It depends on, you know, if you're the lucky winner. But
yeah, that I just signed up yesterday, and they only gave me 100.
No, only gave you 100. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. How much did you deposit?
Are you drafting tonight?
How much did you deposit?
100.
Okay, so they matched. Wow, that's awesome. You got 100. Great. Okay, so I don't know. I don't know if we're drafting tonight or not. I'm not sure. But anyways, Deontay, the one thing I'll say about Deontay is he's got an 82 overall ADP. Not horrible, but let's take a look at who's around him that I'd rather have. So Deontay Johnson or JSN. I mean, you can make arguments. I wouldn't be mad at you, but I'm
now
taking
that's
JSN.
That's a crowded receiving.
It is, but Ryan Grubb, Washington, Michael Penix Jr., that's your new OC there. So they should be throwing the hell out of the ball. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know what you're going to get out of Deontay, bro. He's got brick hands, man. They call him stone hands. I mean, he gets open, but we've also seen wide receivers get open like hell in Pittsburgh and leave Pittsburgh, and then they don't. Like, I don't know. Sometimes that's a good situation for wide receivers. I don't know that he's going to get the same love. We'll see. There's a reason he's going that late. Jameson Williams, I almost like him a little more in Detroit. I mean, he's right next to him ADP-wise, so people obviously agree. Keon Coleman, give me the rookie over Deontay. Give me the number one in Buffalo that, yeah, will have some growing pains.
Oh, God, yeah.
Give me
that's
so,
definitely that's a lock in my draft.
In fairness, you know, is Pickens going a little too high? I do think so. Would I take a gamble in one league out of 10? Maybe, yeah. But Tank Dell's right above him one spot.
I'm not a big fan of Pickens' route tree.
48 overall is his ADP. I'll admit there's not a ton of wide receivers I love, but Tank Dell and a few others. But like running back wise, Pacheco's right at the same exact ADP. Rashad White is about four or five picks later. Quarterback wise at 48, I'd much rather have Patrick Mahomes, who's going right there. You know, if I'm sitting there, even if I'm putting all my eggs in one basket, and I'm like, why do I keep doing this? If I'm sitting there between Pickens and Mahomes, and I'm taking Mahomes 10 times out of 10. I don't care about putting all my eggs in one basket.
On Underdog, Pickens is going 48 overall?
He's going 48 overall. So the two players you brought up are good
ESPN,
two players to talk about.
Drafts on ESPN, he's going in the sixth fucking round.
Well, 12, you know,
12
it's,
team draft.
Well, I mean, depends where you draft. You're drafting on, with an auto draft data that's corrupt.
Yeah.
Like, think about it. You get into a mock draft with little Bobby Stevens down the street. He's, you know, he's not even old enough to be in there. And then you got Aunt Edna that logs on and then Supper, you know, hey, Supper's ready, Aunt Edna. And so she leaves in the fourth round, and then her team gets taken over by a computer, but their algorithm says as long as this draft starts and this person drafts, let's say, two players, and every ADP data is collected differently. But if it goes, okay, well, since Aunt Edna picked four players or three players, the rest of her draft's counting toward the ADP data. And so all of a sudden you got bad ADP data off of Billy Stevens, who leaves after round five because he's got ADHD and he wants to jump into another draft. So no one's finishing their mock drafts. The data's crap, bro. Everybody's saying on ESPN mock draft data, don't look at ESPN mock draft data. Don't look at any mock draft data. The only data you should be looking at, and just thank your lucky stars if it ends up being different on draft day, is paid data. Not that you have to pay to use it, but you're looking at Underdog Fantasy promo code Smitty data, where people are paying hard-earned money to draft, and you know they're finishing every single draft. Now, best ball data is a little different, but dare I say, best ball data is more accurate to what non-best ball data actually is than absolute garbage non-best ball data. Like, you're going to have more variance in the crap data that is, yeah, it's matching with the draft strat or the you know, it's non-best ball ADP for non-best ball, but it's not accurate. So, yeah, you might have best ball ADP, you know, and it doesn't translate entirely, but it's going to be more accurate. Damn, man. Yeah. Edna? Go ahead.
I hate Aunt Edna. She's a bitch.
Yeah. What else is up?
Always.
All right. Hey, calm down. All right. Don't be so mean to her. What can I do for you, Scott? What else you got?
That was it. I was just because I was looking at these, and you're right. I am doing the ESPN, and that's probably a bad thing. But the draft I'm in is a slow draft, so be the first. I guess I'll do 30 again this year. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway.
Thanks, Scott. All right, Scott, anything else? Hey,
nope,
Scott.
Let him do it.
All right, you holding up okay, pal?
I'm doing freaking great.
Okay, awesome. Good to hear.
Best I've ever been.
All right, keep wearing that shirt. Later.
Later.
Oh, Scott. I think it's time for an ADP show here soon. I think we need an ADP show soon. Probably something along the lines. What did we do last time? I think we did like third round steals or second round steals. Maybe we'll just do another. Maybe we'll do whatever round we did. We'll do the next round. I'll find out what I did. And then the next ADP video will be avoids, early round avoids or mid round avoids or something like that. We'll do two positive ones and then one negative one. I don't want to do all negative ADP shows. So we'll do a 2-to-1 ratio. ADP should be a positive thing. So we'll do those in back-to-back order on that. So next show will be a positive. Whatever round I did last time, if it was second, I'll do third. If it was third, I'll do fourth. And we'll go into it like that. All right, dial into the phone line.
Call into the show.
Brought to you by the attic.shop. Pickens is a stud. Says, Pickens is a stud, but a headache, says BW. Yeah, and his ADP, I mean, Scott brought up two very good names to talk about, and both of them are kind of avoids. I love Pickens, but 48 overall, I just can't do it. I'm drafting Mahomes over Pickens every time. I can't do it. We do need a graveyard stream tonight. That might be what we do. Maybe I'll promise to drop a underdog private link league at the end of the graveyard stream. That way we get kind of drafting in a way on top of a dynasty show. That's what we'll do. We'll do a dynasty show tonight. I don't know what the topic will be, but we'll do one tonight. Sports says he's not going to stay at 205. How do you know? He says he is. I mean, I talked about that. I said that these guys sometimes say that and they can't hold it off because they eat and work out and then before you know it. But he's been in an extreme like regimen, and this is very important to him. So I don't know if anybody does hold the weight down to the exact number. I think it's Lamar because he's on a mission to be 205. He's been very, very adamant. So I don't know that you could say he's going to be back up. I think that's wishful thinking. You sound like a Lamar owner. You sound like a Lamar investor or a Ravens fan. Ryan, what's up? You're live from Denver.
Very good. Quick question. Dynasty Superflex, win now. What do you send Hurts and Tank Dell for Josh Allen?
Do I look like an idiot? I won't get mad. Just tell me, do I look like one?
Nope.
Okay. I mean... Number one, I mean, Hurts is arguably as good as Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen I'd rather have, but you're giving me Tank Dell. And all I got to do is maybe say, well, I might be giving up one quarterback slot. But with the additions going on in Philly, the field position Philly's going to have constantly, amazing defense now. Maybe the number one defense in the league, to be honest with you. Fangio with the two best corners in this draft, all the other additions they made. Everybody making fun of Philly when they were losing people early on. Like, Philly's so dangerous, man. Barkley, Barkley's going to take away from Willie. Will he really take away? They're just going to feed all the yardage and touches they gave to Swift last year. They're going to give to Barkley. But Hurts won't have any brotherly shove touchdowns. Watch. You got to be out of your mind. People are out of their minds if they think that Hurts is going to have like two rushing touchdowns now. Give me Hurts and Tank Dell all day long, bro.
Okay.
All day long.
That's all for me. I appreciate it.
All day long. Well, what else you got while you got me here?
I mean, well, the reason I'm asking is Tank Dell is my wide receiver 6. So he's just going to stay on my taxi squad. But if Hurts and Dell is it, then I think I stick.
I mean, I still do it. But what I wouldn't do is sit on it. I would try and move Tank Dell and another piece and upgrade one of your lineup pieces. But bro, you're getting handed like a whole extra fourth round player without really moving down much. I mean, is Josh Allen going ahead of Hurts in back to back draft 10 times out of 10? Yeah, probably. But sometimes they go within 3 or 4 picks of each other. I'm very much a person that thinks that the offense is sometimes more important than anything. And all the weapons that Hurts has and Josh Allen, you know, I think Buffalo did kind of a mediocre job at assembling talent to surround Josh Allen. Philly did a above and beyond. So at the end of the day, I like Hurts almost in some ways more than Josh Allen, and especially because the ADP is different. So I would do that, but I would shop Dell and something else to upgrade. Like, who do you have at your wide receivers and quarterbacks? It sounds like a grandma league for sure, but let's go ahead and attack it. Who are your running backs and wide receivers?
CD, Amon, Olave, IU. DJ Moore, Tank Dell, or my receivers.
CD Olave, Ayuk, Ayuk, and who else? Tank Dell, and who else?
I apologize. I got to head out.
Oh, okay. Later, Ryan. Get in here, Ryan. Supper's ready. Get off that fantasy football show with that bum Smitty. All he does is yell at you. The meatloaf's ready, Ryan. Ryan got yanked out of the room by the collar. Ryan, I appreciate you. If Mrs. Ryan's listening, I'm sorry. He does whatever you said. He needs to do that. Yeah, I'm sorry. She probably hates me more now. Alan says, didn't Philly sign a new OC? Yes, they did. Fangio defense. I mean, they got Fangio, bro. They got Fangio, and you hand him the two best corners in this draft, and then you bring in Kellen Moore, the Dallas Cowboy offensive coordinator who really helped build that thing up to the top 5 offense that it is. I don't care that he didn't do what he's supposed to do in LAC. The Chargers are a mess, man. I don't judge him for that. Just like I don't judge Kingsbury for having bad, you know, spots, like he in stints places. Kingsbury's a monster. Philly has done everything right. They lost Shane Steichen to Indy, and they lost Gannon to the Cardinals, our head coach over here in Arizona. Where's my Cardinal? Gannon's now my best friend. We just became best friends. Gannon and Steichen leave, and they're in shambles. They don't fill those spots well. That's why they collapsed last year. A casual, someone that doesn't know football at all, is going to say something like, hey, Smitty, you know, the Eagles didn't do well last year. They kind of fell apart. Like, didn't Hurts get figured out last year? That's what a casual and non-educated, you know, anti-Philly fan will say, right? But They were in shambles. They didn't do what they needed to do. But what did they do this year? They replaced those pieces. And yeah, is Sirianni on the hot seat? Sure. You know, but Sirianni isn't really the engine of anything. He's the delegator in chief, and they could replace that. But he has been pretty good at delegating and getting Steichen. You know, he did well. There's some pros and cons to Sirianni. But really, it's kind of like you look at Slowick in Houston and D'Amico Ryan, right? D'Amico Ryan's is a big component, big team guy. Team loves him. The city loves him. Everybody loves him. But Slowick is a big, important piece. You look at Detroit, same thing. You got head coach, and then you got Ben Johnson. It all really does come down to Ben Johnson. If Ben Johnson's removed and he almost left, Detroit would be a little bit in trouble. And they might do exactly, and you'll see caution from me in years where, and this year we took into account coaching more than we ever have in the past. And I told you guys that in the offseason. After the situation of Arthur Smith, I vowed to you that probably the biggest weakness, I think, of really anybody, but from my content, was trying to bank on talent so much that I tried to overlook some sort of coaching discrepancy or hindrance that could be in play. So I made a vow to you guys that I would be taking coaching and a lot of the situation into more account to help not only me, but to help everybody. And that may be one of the weaknesses of my content. And we hit coaching harder than anybody. We had this coaching board we pulled up constantly. And the blueprint you're seeing in the NFL is you bring in a strong coach. Hold on one second. 408 caller, who's this and where are you calling from? Okay. Good talk, bro. So you bring in a really strong head coach in Raheem Morris. You bring in the brains and the offensive operation piece in Zach Robinson. You bring in Dan Quinn, also defensive-minded like Raheem Morris. Raheem Morris is more than a defensive mind, though. And then you bring in Kingsbury, and you bring in Adam Peters as GM. And you see this repetition going on. Detroit, they got Ben Johnson, and they've got head coach. You look over at Seattle. You got McDonald from Baltimore, and you've got Ryan Grubb, offensive guru from Washington, who was Penix Jr.'s coach and why Penix Jr. was so good. And so you circle that back into, you know, this conversation, and we say, what did Philly do differently this year? They fixed their OC defensive coordinator situation because they never really had a good handle on it coming out of the loss of Shane Steichen, who was unbelievable. And he's going to do amazing things in Indy. So for anybody, any casual novice Philly hater that thinks that this isn't buttoned up, it's buttoned up. I promise you. Dotson hasn't shown much, says Prime. Of course you wouldn't like him. I'm glad you don't like him. That makes me feel more confident in it, Prime. Thank you for confirming that. All right. Dial in to the attic.shop phone lines.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Anyway, Kind of a good show in terms of the news. I think we got a lot of Keon Coleman. What is this? What is this? We got another Keon Coleman thing. Keon Coleman, a man of the people. Bills wide receiver Keon Coleman is working at a fried chicken place taking orders. Just giving back to the community already. I love this kid. Keon Coleman's become, if we look at my rookie board here, I mean, he's my number 6 overall player. I'm very tempted to put Brooks ahead of him, but because of the injury, I'm being careful with him, but I'm still loving this Brooks value at number 7, but I don't recommend people draft Benson 4. Rankings are not something you draft off. You manipulate ADP using your rankings. Rankings are for robots that if someone's going to take rankings into draft. My rankings will never be what you draft off. It will be how do you manipulate your league mates. And where's Smitty rank Benson? He ranks him 4th out of all rookies. Do you draft him 4? No, if you do, you're not paying attention. Benson's going at 10, 11, 12. You can get Benson at 10 or 11 or 12 in your rookie draft. He's my number 4 overall ranked rookie. Coleman's number 6. He's ahead of Worthy. He's ahead of Brian Thomas Jr. I like Brian Thomas Jr. a lot. I like Worthy a lot. I love Bauer still. His situation is kind of like touch and go till he gets his quarterback. I like Leggett a lot. McConkey's still fantastic. But Coleman's climbed to number 6, and it hasn't really, I haven't moved him. His situation trumps any concern we might have about him being as good maybe as some of the other wide receivers, but he's moved ahead of BT. Situation is going to be king. I like BT spot, but these are my rookie rankings. You need to dominate with them, not draft off them. Don't be a robot and just take them in this order. Use the data and smash with it. And do it live. Neighbors with the Giants. I mean, you can't move them down. This is Dynasty, my guy. This is Dynasty. This isn't redraft. This is a Dynasty ranking. You can't move Neighbors. Neighbors could have, he could have a different quarterback next year, bro. He could have the number, he could have Shedeur Sanders there next year. He could have the number one rookie quarterback. You cannot bump Neighbors out of the top 3. You can't bump Odunze out of the top 3. These are Dynasty fantasy football rankings. So don't even hesitate to take Neighbors. Let me just make sure you understand this. Jonathan, you are live, young man.
Hey, what's up, Smitty? How's it going?
I'm good, bro. Just doing the usual. What are you doing?
I was listening to your stuff while I was studying a little bit, but I just wanted to call because I really like the feedback that you're talking about as of right now. But I also wanted to ask you a quick little question of this Dynasty trade that I just did.
Okay, hit me with it.
All right, so I traded with this dude that he apparently is freaking out about the rookie that was drafted by the Rams. So I did this pretty big trade, but this was the trade. I traded away, I don't know if you want to write it down, because it's a pretty big one.
Hit me with it.
I traded away Swift. I traded away a third round pick. And let me see, where is it at? Laporta. And so that's what I sent. Was a third round, Laporta and Swift. And in return, I got Evan Ingram. I got Keller Williams.
You got Kyren, right? You got Kyren.
Yeah, Kyren Williams.
I assume that because you said he was freaking about Quorum. So you got Ingram, you got Kyren.
I got a second round pick, which I already drafted.
Who'd you get?
I ended up getting, let me see who I got. Sorry, forgot.
Keon Coleman.
I wish, bro. Nah, he went early, man.
Okay. He sometimes falls. McConkey. Parasol. Who'd you get?
I actually ended up getting the, I ended up, because it was a late second, so I ended up getting Rice from Miami.
Okay.
I ended up getting him. Oh, it was Mims. No, it wasn't Mims. Yeah, it was him. It was Rice. And then right after that, I chose the receiver from Pittsburgh. So it was like two picks pretty much back to back.
So you got Roman Wilson. So you got Roman Wilson. You got Kyren, you got Ingram, and you got the second rounder, which you took Rice. Okay, so you got Rice.
And I got Trevor Lawrence.
It's a super flex?
No, just one QB, but my QB was Justin Fields. And because I don't know if you remember, but you helped me draft this team last year for Dynasty. So I had Justin Fields, and my backup was freaking Russell Wilson. So, yeah. So then I traded for Kirk Cousins, like throughout the season. Then he got traded to the Falcons, and then so on and so forth. So my QBs as of right now is Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields. So
okay, you, everyone's saying you said Jalen Wright, not Rice, right? I thought you said Rice, but you're saying Jalen Wright.
Yeah, Wright.
Okay.
So running back from the Miami.
Okay, I did hear you say Miami, but it sounded like you said Rice. I'm like, okay, you took the. Okay, so you got Jalen Wright, you got Kyren, you got Ingram, you got T-Law, you got Roman Wilson. T-Law is now potentially your starter with Cousins. You got at least a rotation there. Cousins probably starts for you week one, but Swift third, Laporta. Look, I would take this side that you got. I think that you did really well. I think it's always kind of a nut sack kick when you lose potentially the number one player at a position like Laporta, but I believe in Kyren. Unlike other people, to a degree that's, you know, off the charts, man. And Ingram was a top five tight end. What?
I did a best ball draft today. Bro, I ended up getting Williams in the late second round.
Yeah, he's falling. So at the end of the day, I like this.
Freaking out.
Yeah, I like this move for you, but I mean, there's some pros and cons to it just because Laporta is so good, but and I don't think Swift could Swift do well. I think he could, but I think he gets hurt. So I'm very much on board this side of the thing. But I would try my best to turn Ingram and other pieces, you know, Roman Wilson, future first rounder, to get into a I'd love to get Bowers using Ingram and different components, Roman Wilson. I'd even trade a future first rounder and Ingram to get Bowers. I would do that. I'm crazy, but I think Bowers is going to be that good.
Yeah, I've already tried. Nobody's not flinching. His tight ends are not very good. But in this same league is the same league that I traded away Rashid Rice. As soon as I saw like the video that you posted about, you know, him, you know, and he's probably going to, you know, face suspension and all that, and I literally traded him, and I ended up getting Tank Dell and that other second that I got.
Okay.
Which I was shocked that I even did that.
Yeah, nice work.
Yeah, because everybody's sleeping on Tank Dell as well.
Yep, appreciate you, bro. Nice job.
All right, Smitty, keep up the good work, bro. You the best, man. Everybody hit that like button for Smitty.
I appreciate it. Thanks, bro. Later. Smitty approved that trade. Orion says, did you see the Texans signed identical wins? Do you mean twins? What are you talking about there, Orion? Orion, appreciate your super chat. What's he talking about? Calvin Krim, $5 hauler. Thoughts on Bucky in Tampa Bay? Interesting pick. I like Bucky, but he was one of those guys I told you, like, he has to go somewhere ideal. And they drafted, I mean, him and Rashad White kind of serve the same purpose. Like, if you were worried about the yards per carry that Rashad White was dropping last year, and that's the concern, he's great receiving back, you bring in a guy that kind of is similar, like, how are you solving that problem? You know, so it's kind of good for Rashad White, because I don't think Bucky Irving is kind of like Tank Bigsby to me, you know. So I'm not too worried about it. I don't really love him, not here. He's good. He's a good cuff, I guess. But, you know, if they took Braylon Allen, then like, say goodbye to the first down, you know, work and say goodbye to the goal line stuff and all that. But they didn't do that. They drafted a similar player. So I don't really understand. I don't really like the it doesn't complement well. So, but great question. I don't hate him. I've drafted him plenty. I still will. But he's definitely not one of my favorite players based on landing spot. I've tried Njoku in a 25 first and Bowers owner declined. I would take Bowers in a heartbeat. Kyren's side, but I am curious who is his tight end now. His tight end would have been Ingram. He got Ingram in the trade, Matt. You got Ingram in the trade. Ingram's his tight end. So Laporta to Ingram, which isn't a bad move down when you think about getting Kyren. Like, Kyren's that good. But I would take Bowers. I would get rid of my first rounder to get Bowers. I love Brock Bowers. To me, is a steal. Even on my own rookie rankings, I look at it and I go, what bum is underrating? Oh, it's Moser, my rankings. Because, like, default, you kind of have to. It's like de facto value sitting right in front of you. You can't do a single thing about it because you like Brooks too much. You like Coleman too much. You like Daniels and Benson. But the thing is, Bowers might rank 8 on my rankings, but Benson, you're going to get way lower than Bowers, so Bowers does need to get taken higher. And, you know, he's unreal. Like, could Bowers climb all the way to number 4 or 5? Yeah. If he had gotten a quarterback right away, he'd be 5 or 6 overall, no doubt about it. But, you know, there's some of that factor to it. Like, what do we really know that LV's going to fill the spot properly? I mean, look at New Orleans. I mean, they drafted Rattler, but they didn't, like, take care of anything. Just kept going with it. Look at the Giants. They just kept going with their mistake. I mean, I don't know. I like Pierce. I feel like Pierce is pretty good. But I don't know if he knows the quarterback position. I don't really know. I don't know what's going on. Dable was, thought to be the biggest, quarterback genius we could ever come across. Dable was the one that made Josh Allen. And he just sat on his hands again. Maybe he had no control over it, but I mean, I don't know that we can just assume LV will 100% solve the problem. So there's that, that factor in that's making him fluctuate here. But at the end of the day, they might have Shedeur Sanders. I think their goal is going to make sure they crush the quarterback position next draft. I think the Raiders will give up whatever it takes to get the 1 overall pick if they don't earn it. Sometimes rookies and bad QBs need to lean on the tight end target. Yeah, that's why he's still there. He's still ranked really respectable. Like Jonathan Brooks in a dynasty, there's nothing wrong with that at 7. Coleman at 6, nothing wrong with that. Jaden Daniels, Benson. I just think Benson's going to be amazing. And I just love RBs. We needed the right RBs to fall into the right spot, and damn did they ever. The two probably most likely to succeed and the most potential to be RB1s, like even if they're low end, they're Marshawn Lynch. They're not Tomlinson or Marshall Faulks or Bijans, or Gibbs, but they're Marshawn Lynch. They're 12, 13, 14 overall players in fantasy football. Jonathan Brooks could go number 14 overall for 2 or 3 straight years. Benson can go 8 to 15 overall in a 2025, 2026, 2027 draft. I don't think these guys ever breach the top 1, 2, or 3, but they feel very Marshawn Lynch-like, and that's amazing. That's a second-round player. And to me, Brooks and Benson have that kind of value. I love it. Coleman, I love. Bowers, I love. Worthy, I like a lot. Thomas Jr., I like a lot. But nobody stands out more than Brooks and Benson and Coleman behind JD, even behind JD5. I could even move JD5 to 4 if I wanted. If I'm feeling frisky, I might. Just might do it. All right, one more phone call.
Call into the show. Call into the show.
Brought to you by the attic.shop. Don't forget Underdog Fantasy promo code Smitty. Tonight we'll be doing a dynasty show, and at the end of that show, or the middle of the show, maybe the beginning of the show, so we can reference it, I'll drop a link to a private draft. And there's the link to Underdog Fantasy promo code Smitty. So hit that. For those that don't know, Rashee Rice's situation is getting much, much worse. He's now being investigated for assault. People say, oh, he's probably just he did what Tyreek Hill did. Maybe so. Maybe he just tapped the hat of a paparazzi guy and it's getting blown out of proportion. But bottom line is this guy's not in a good spot. And he's probably going to be suspended for a minimum of half a year, but probably a full year. And people are still drafting him at insane value in my mind. Just absolutely ridiculous. And I don't even want him. I mean, even if he wasn't to get suspended at all, he skates by somehow, some way, which I don't think will happen. I don't think it can happen. This is Texas law, and there's so many counts. He can't slip out of anything. It's not like Kamara, where there's like 1 or 2 counts, and there's pleas, and they weren't sure if they could win the case. There's no question they're winning this case. The man ran away from the scene. They had to issue an arrest warrant to even get him to turn himself in. And you got people that, like, last night you got people defending him. Like Purdue was saying that, you know, he's cooperating and he's remorseful. No, he's not. He hasn't cooperated at all. He cooperated. If you call it cooperating, warrants issued for your arrest because you haven't turned yourself in, that's called not cooperating. That's called the exact opposite of not cooperating. So the rice is cooked, as fried rice, as Superfish. Put a fork in that rice, as Space Ricky. And, you know, it's so funny how many people... I hope the best for the kid, but he's done. Why do you hope the best for him, though? I'm not saying you shouldn't hope the best for anybody in life, but I'm just curious. Like, what is he... What about the people that he smashed in cars? And, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying I wish ill will upon anybody, but, like, I'm certainly not going, God, I really hope the best for Rasheed Rice. He's in my prayers tonight to make sure he... You know, makes all the right decisions today like he hasn't been doing the last handful of weeks and months. But he is cooked. All right, I'm out of here. Appreciate you all. Thank you for watching. And subscribe if you're new. We'll be back doing the Dynasty show. You're watching this show right here, the Fantasy Football Show, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern, which is 5 p.m. West Coast time right now. And I'm on that time. I'm 5 p.m. Daylight savings stays at 8 p.m. We're always referencing 8 p.m. Eastern. But depending on where you live, that can change, you know, based on daylight savings. But for me, it turns into 6 p.m. Once it flips over in November. But we're going to be live on this channel tonight, youtube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. And Matt O says, I hope he learns his lesson. That's all. Okay. I mean, I get it. The weird part is not many people defend him, well, a couple in the live streams, but after we get all the replay warriors, the keyboard tough guys that come in and say, you don't know what you're talking about. You're blowing this thing out of proportion. Rasheed Rice will be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be okay. He's on 8 of my teams. He'll be okay. We'll be live on this channel, youtube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. Don't forget to check out thefantasyfootballshow.com. Don't forget that I'm on Spotify as well. All these shows pretty much are on Spotify for replay. But yeah, thefantasyfootballshow.com. Get your year-round fantasy football information. I just dropped an article on third-round steals. I dropped an article on Josh Jacobs right now. I wrote it right before we went live. Josh Jacobs, DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, and Cooper Kupp. So if you want to read that fresh article, go on over to thefantasyfootballshow.com. Let me see if I can screenshot just a little piece of that article just so you guys know what I'm talking about. Or let me screenshot the title. Here are the last few pieces of content written. I'll throw these on screen real quick just to give you guys a sense of what you could go get right now if you wanted to. Articles, third round steals, Jacobs, Allen, DK, Devontae Smith, and Kupp. Javon Baker, the next Tank Dell, ? Rookie wide receiver Keon Coleman. Go check out that stuff right now. Calvin Krim dropping a super chat wad on screen, my guy. John dropping one as well. Two super chats back to back here. I love it. $10 haulers get moonshots, so you get a moonshot, Calvin, for coming in strong with the $10 wad. Hey, Smitty, first year playing underdog, reading up on the format and rules, drafting older running backs like Henry and Jones seems reckless and should be avoided at all times. Injury risk, what am I missing? Because think about it, it actually isn't as, it's better to draft Henry in a best ball than a non-best ball, because when you think about it, if he goes down in the middle of a game, you're not getting penalized, because if you have another player on your bench that outscores him that week, then Henry never starts for you anyway. And you also, if you think about it, if Henry misses four games, let's say, you could get crushed in a regular non-best ball format. But if you've got a bunch of other running backs that supplement, when you think about it, Henry playing every game but four games. Think Kyren last year. 12 games, scored 15 touchdowns in 12 games. In best ball, Kyren was more valuable than in non-best ball because you had supplemental players coming in automatically and you didn't have to decide, right? Every week it was 100% your top guys would start for you. So during the weeks where you have lesser talent, you're juggling because Kyren's out for five games, you're getting it wrong a lot because you got Zamir White and you got other guys and you're not sure who to play. Well, they start for you. And so Kyren's 12 games added to the five games that you got additional starts from your bench probably outscored everybody in fantasy football, but maybe Christian McCaffrey, and it might have even outscored McCaffrey. Kyren and your bench, if you had good players at all, those 17 starts from your one running back slot might have been running back one or two overall. So that's what you got to think about with best ball. So Henry, a little more valuable because if he misses four, five, six games, you don't have to fret because when you're sitting there rotating these guys through, you're not making those decisions. The system's starting optimally your best guy every week. So there's some pros and cons to it. I'm not saying I go after injured players too. I'd much rather have a guy like Kyren over Henry or Achane over Henry because I do believe Henry is the risk of dropping off, but I'm just trying to explain the thinking to you. Appreciate you, Callum, for dropping that. And John said, please hit the gavel and the MHA Lion King. Gavel for John. Appreciate you, John. We are out of here. MHJ Lion King, here we go. See you all tonight on the Dynasty Channel, youtube.com/DynastyFantasyFootball. Link in the description. See you all. I'm a cardinal, ain't my mama cardinal. 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 The Cardinals look to be rising, and MHJ is your king. Andrew wants to know, Smitty, you staying at Circa Hotel? Yeah, I'll be right there June 28th and June 29th, which will be Friday and Saturday. Saturday is the Scott Fish Bowl. You can even come and hang out. You don't even have to be in the draft. You can just be there for the live stream. You know, just hang out, get some drinks, whatever. And then at the poolside there, at it's all at Stadium Swim, which is attached to Circa Hotel. It's basically like Circa Hotel's pool. You know, it's just called Stadium Swim. It's like a separate business in a sense, but it's like attached to it. It's a huge, huge operation. And Stadium Swim will have the fight as well. So I'll be back Saturday evening to watch the Conor McGregor fight with as many people as that want to hang out with your boy. And so I'll see you all there. But anybody that wants to come hang out with me in Vegas at Circa Hotel and Casino, that's the downtown strip, not the new strip. You know, it's not the like MGM and New York area. This is the old school Circa Hotel and Casino strip. And, you know, they got the D's there, Circa, etc., and Stadium Swim. So I'll see you guys all there June 28 and June 29. We're going to have a grip of people there, so it should be a blast. So I'll see you all there. Appreciate you, Andrew.
Bijan card has been revoked.